My dear devotees, if Krishna is merciful to us, I do hope that this will be very useful for your holy name experience, because the subjects are of a little deeper nature. I would very much appreciate in the sitting more contact with you, if you would be so kind to just move 2 meters or so more forward. This would be more congenial, better. Then, just in preparation, I know that some of you have in your mobile phones access to the Veda base. Could maybe someone find from the Srimad Bhagavatam the prayer of Vritasura? You will find it in 6. Medanga Prabhu, you have access? Good. So please find 6:11:27. May I know how is it going for you? I hear some of you are coughing. That is unfortunately natural at this time. It's the dust. It's not bad. It sounds, I'm coughing, but it's the dust of Vrindavan which enters into you, and it's also a little cold. If I may suggest, if you have access to vitamin C, it's good to take regular doses. I'm sorry, it doesn't help me very much because I don't know how to use them. You're very kind. Let me, when the time comes, I will ask our devotee. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vesaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Harime Namaste Girirajaya Shri Govardhana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Anana I welcome you for this lecture, which will also be having some practical exercises, like in a workshop. We will try to explore more and new areas in our chanting. And I require your willing cooperation at times. My dear devotees, pilgrims, friends, I believe there is no doubt in our minds that we want to enter deeper into bhakti. We want that feeling of devotion, of relationship to Krishna. And we have come together here because we are convinced that through the chanting of the holy names, as our primary anga or limb of devotional service. Some say the chanting is not just another limb, it's the main body, because the holy name and the chanting of and Krishna, the goal, are identical. Sadhana and satya, in other words, come together here, and therefore they say it's the main body of bhakti is Krishna, and since he's non-different from the holy name, it's this. So we all are sure, we have no doubt about it, but we also know that chanting is not chanting. In other words, there can be a vast difference between mechanical and deeply absorbed chanting. And we also know how difficult it is sometimes to really enter the holy name and, as the scriptures say, to really see that the holy name also enters and pervades our consciousness. All too often our chanting is like a sabji without salt, like a meal without hunger, and like the study of shastras without understanding. When you have a vegetable without salt, it is quite tasteless. It's the salt which brings out the different tastes of the potatoes, the beans, the carrots, and so on. And we also know there can be a meal, let us say an Italian cooked or a pizza cooked the Italian style with everything that culture provides for this. But if there is no hunger, the pizza makes you, it's very disinteresting. It's even a burden. So in the same way, our chanting can be like this. We hear the great souls relish it, but if we don't have that eagerness in our heart to finish our rounds to which we have committed ourselves, seems to be a tiresome burden. Or when we chant, it can be like someone who studies the Bhagavatam, and he reads again and again through the same verse, but there is nothing which strikes him. Like, have you had this happening? You read, or you sometimes hear a text which is really blissful, and the lecturer goes, wow, and is very inspired, and for you, what is it all about? What did I just hear? I don't remember anything. So the chanting can also be like this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I chanted a lakh of rounds. A lakh. 64 rounds. There's not a drop of taste. Then in a very laconic way, melancholic way, he says, oh, what a counting game. One, two, three, four. Yes, we know, children can also do this. Five, six, what was it again? Eight? No, seven. God have mercy on me. My counting game is extremely boring today. We all know this. And therefore we have to ask ourselves, is there something which bring salt into my my chanting, which is like a, at the moment like a sabji without salt. Is there something which can bring a strong appetite for Krishna consciousness into me, who at the moment is so dull and so like it feels like a dead fish inside? Is there maybe an understanding which could come so that I can grasp and relish the subject? What can bring life into the chanting? And the answer is given by Rupa Goswami. It is eagerness, a feeling of longing, a feeling of I need this, a feeling of urgency, the eagerness which is there. In the Bhagavatam, we hear of a highly realized devotee, Maharaj Chitraketu, who gets cursed. And although he can maintain his devotional feelings for Krishna, outside he finds himself in the body of a demon. And he's locked in a deadly combat with the leader of the divine beings, the Suras, Indra. And they in the ultimate confrontation, they find themselves on a battlefield equipped with deadly weapons, ready to strike each other and take the life from each other. So Vritasura, that cursed devotee, remembers his devotional fundament or his devotional essence, and in fact wishes to call death nearer. He's a very bold devotee, we can say. He invites death. He wants to finish this awkward position of being inside, full of devotional feelings, but outside being just blocked by his karma. And he wants to end all this. And he turns to the Lord with a prayer which Bhaktivinoda Thakur identifies as a prayer expressing the right mood of eagerness when we chant. And our Madanga playing Prabhu will supply his little machine to me. I made a mistake. It must be 26. You will find it in the Bhagavatam, even it's 25, hopefully. You will find it, Anaksha. No, it must be another one, the one before. You are an angel with wings and a mobile telephone. Vritasura, wanting that Indra finally takes the weapon which is meant to kill him. It's a weapon which is charged by the power of a saint and blessed by Lord Narayan. But he sees Indra is not using this weapon, and Vritasura turns with great eagerness and longing to the Lord and ask the Lord, please, please take me to you. He says, Aham Hare Tava Padai Kamula Dasanu Daso Bhavitas Mabuya Manas Maretasu Pate gunangste Grinita Vakarma Karotikaya. He says to Krishna, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, tell me, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? Will you accept me? I'm saying, Hare Krishna, please accept me in your service. But tell me very honestly, tell me now, because I can't bear the separation. Will I really again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter at your lotus feet only? Then he addresses the Lord as his great necessity. He says, O Lord of my life, you are the Lord of my life and you give me life. You are my prananad. O Lord of my life, please, I want to become the servant of your servants so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words may always glorify your attributes. My mind will think, oh Krishna, you're so merciful. You're the protector of your devotees. And I think about this, oh Krishna, will you also give me protection? And my body, I want that also to always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. He says, tell me, my Lord, Will you accept me again? With this eagerness, you know, you can chant. It's one thing is to say, "Yo, Hare Krishna, what does this mean? Please engage me in your service." And it's another thing to ask, "Oh, will you engage me in your service? Will you accept me in your service? Kindly do so. I bring three things with me. I bring my body with me. I wish that to serve you. I bring my voice with me. I will sing your glories, and I will bring my mind with me. I want to always think of you and be absorbed in you." That's really the prayer unpacked. Please engage me in your service. And if some of you, I know, like to take notes and take things down in your notepads to read it later, it's the Bhagavatam 6:11-24. Very, very, very nice verse. Prabhupada says, this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. It's a summary. It expresses eagerness. And Vritasura, then later, and I will find this with the help of our expert devotee. Can you please move forward to this? Later, yes. No, it's not. I will try to do what you did. No, it doesn't work. I've made too many. No, I didn't make offenses against the machine. He then gives an analogy. He says, I'm really eager, and he gives the analogy of a baby bird who has not yet developed wings to fly, but who always waits for the mother to return and feed them. Or he brings the analogy, he's not satisfied. Baby birds are a little unintelligent. The calf is a better example. The calf always wants to drink from the mother cow and longs when she comes back from the meadow and is brought by the farmer into the stall. And then he thinks, no, this is not... The calf doesn't serve the cow. I want to be more like a wife whose first love, she's married with the man she first loved, not the man after a few other loves, but the first love, and she is married with him and wants to, and knows exactly what he requires and needs and wishes that after a long absence he returns and they will be together and she can express her love and affection by serving him in many ways, making the house nice and cooking the favorite dishes, etc. So this increasing eagerness is something which marks the awakening of the soul. It marks the, it is a sign that you are progressing. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you will find a very amazing definition of bhakti along these lines, where bhakti is really described as an intense longing, an increment or increasing eagerness. The verse is really nice. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, dhana. Dhana means the wealth, wealth of bhakti yoga. Bhakti e Krishna nami smarane krandhana. It means bhakti or devotional service. And it repeats it three times. Devotional service, yes, is the greatest treasure. Devotional service means crying while remembering Krishna's names. This is the salt in the vegetable. This is the hunger you need to eat. And this is the understanding which you require when you go into the Shastras. Yes? This is what brings your practice of devotional service or Krishna consciousness to life. Eagerness, or as it is said here, crying. I think we all remember that first, maybe it's the first article many of us read, or it's even recorded at the first time Prabhupada spoke. He says, when chanting should be like the crying of a little child for the mother. I think it's a dear sentence, a dear guiding light, and so on. And at other times he says, Prabhupada says, this is the price for bhakti, to cry. It's not a matter of the tear, what is it? Tränendrüse. Tear, what is the drüse? That's a certain thing. It's a certain organ. It's a tear. Duct, yeah. It's not a function here. It is in the heart. It has to come from here. There was once a man who wanted to get the praise of devotees, so he went to a lecture, and in the midst of the lecture he took his hands into some bag of chili powder, and the devotees thought, oh, he's just maybe wiping his something the eyes, and then he started to cry like anything. This crying is a biological thing, but we want a spiritual crying which comes from a heart which really understands the Lord is my only shelter. And at that time, when this is there, when these tears wash your vision, you can understand what is chanting. You can understand what is Krishna consciousness. It's a thing which has to be understood through the right bhava, the right inner mood, the right inner vision. It is not something the brain can easily understand. This type of crying refers to technically the sattvika bhavas, which become manifested once the internal energy of Lord Krishna descends into the heart of the devotee and moves the heart of a devotee. And I believe sometimes as we chant, there may be times when all of a sudden we are surprised.
Now the chanting appears to be very, very nice and alive for me. And we don't know what just happened. I mean, as most of the time the chanting is for me a pious, I must do it, and it's a fashion in ISKCON. Good, I'm a fashionable. I mean, I'm part of this, so I will also come to the kirtan. But what happened? Something came. The holy name came from above and entered your heart and moved you. See, my dear devotees, when we want to improve our chanting, we don't look for material emotions which can be created through psychological counseling or whatever. We really look for a divine energy descending on us. If I may give this example, for the lamp to shine, there must be an extra energy coming. I can't say, lamp, now shine, please, shine. You know, shine. I can't give it psychological counsel. Don't be so depressed. It's government retreat. Sit upright. Shine. No, there has to be a connection with another energy. And you know, the electrical, often it doesn't work in India, but here I think, yes, it works. So this is, therefore, you must beg for the holy name to come. You must be in a position that alone I'm lifeless. I'm dead. I'm like a sabji without salt. Or I'm like someone who sits before a meal, but who is unfortunately so ill and whose bodily functions are so disturbed that I don't feel real attraction. Please help me. Please. This must come. This, right? Begging must come. Coming back to the original questions which I asked, I want to go a little bit deeper now. What is necessary that you can chant with bhakti? It's you need to work on your intention. Why do I chant? What is the chanting for me? You need to be clear that you are addressing Krishna and begging him for his mercy. That's very important. Sometimes we wish Krishna consciousness to be an automatic process. I just go into it, and no matter what I think, it will work on me. It would be good, like a lift. I can be in this consciousness or that consciousness. If I go into a good lift, I press number 3, I always am delivered to the third level of the building. No? But it's not an automatic process. It depends on your intention. And Prabhupada gives a very powerful example about the Ganga bathing. There are many people believe that if I take my bath in the Ganga, the Ganga will wash me free of sins. This automatic process, or this belief that something works on you automatically, is very convenient in the Indian spirituality, and it's everywhere, very convenient. But spiritual life doesn't work like this. Prabhupada writes about this. People generally go to the Gangas to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here is an example of how foolish people enter the Ganga to become more involved in sinful life. He speaks of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, who took a bath in the Ganga in the association of naked ladies and enjoyed drinking and other sensual pleasures with them in the Ganga. So here's an example of how foolish people enter the Ganga to become involved in sinful life. And then Prabhupada says, it's not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Gangas. Everything, he says, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. Everything. You know, in Calcutta, there are many prostitutes who take their morning bath in the Ganga. It's for free. And they don't go there to become free from their desires to engage in this type of profession. Therefore, when they come out of the Ganga, they are, yes, freshly bathed, but not refreshed in their mentality and their spiritual life. It's dependent on your intention. Therefore, someone who comes into the process of Krishna consciousness can make very fast movement advancement when he has the right intention. Or someone can be an old guy, old devotee in years like me, and be not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. Because the mentality is necessary, and you need to work on that when you want to enter chanting. Automatic chanting, mechanical chanting, will not really, bring you to the goal where you wish to come. Prabhupada makes this very clear, and I will go with you a long way today, I need to prepare my ground. Prabhupada says, actually the Lord's name has a very powerful potency, but there's a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man or woman can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. Not so much is happening. So now we will enter a very difficult second part of the lecture. The first part was to establish a fundament for what follows now, because we will go now into practice. It's important that we work on look at our inner attitude when we chant, because that will describe the outcome in our chanting. The question now is how to obtain genuine devotional feelings. Have you ever thought about this question? No, yes, middle. It's a question which we say in Germany, it lies on one's hand. It's very close. Yes. How can I come to life inside? I very much like the statement, an entering statement of the Padma Purana, because I'm at the moment making exactly such an experience. At the moment means in this week I'm making. Padma Purana says one can obtain 1% of the religious merit of a person by thinking of them. When you think of a saintly personality, something of his extraordinary devotional quality, something of his extraordinary devotional quality can enter your heart. I'm reading at the moment a wonderful book, The Life of Narottam Das Thakur, very nicely written, and it describes very nicely Narottam's, how he ultimately obtained the treasure which Lord Chaitanya had in store for him, that is pure love of Godhead. And it's very nicely written, the life of and how he feels and how he develops, and you begin to feel his influence. In Bhakti Aloka, Haridas Thakur is singled out as a saint whom we should and can meditate about to get devotional service, because by this Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we get three qualifications, and I hope I will get them together. One is determination, the second is faith, and the third is constant chanting, because he was very determined. He was threatened with a public flocking. It's very painful. He said, no, I have to chant. He's very determined. He had faith. He said, you can cut my body in 1,000 little pieces. I will continue to chant. That's my life. And he chanted incessantly. He chanted always. Prabhupada writes, in the morning he started, and then he chanted the whole day and night. And when the sun rose in the morning the next day, he said, well, already you are rising? What happened? The cosmic order is disturbed. You should wait. Some time has to pass. I need to chant a little. So Haridas Thakur so innocently and lovingly engaged in the chanting, and when we enter his life, study his life, or the life of Narada Thamdas Thakur, then we can get an infusion of bhakti and devotional feelings. I very much like, and I hope I don't repeat myself too often, a prayer which Haridas Thakur spoke to the holy name. I would love to say this prayer for you. Kripa kori namarupe amara jivaya nirantara nacha prabhu darita vapaya. O Lord, he prays, be merciful and appear on my tongue in your holy name. Dance there constantly, O Lord. I fall at your lotus feet and beg you. No, this is, I think, very nice. He says, my Lord, I can't chant without your support. You must appear on my tongue. My tongue, my flapping instrument, cannot produce the holy name. You must descend. Then it's the real name. And then he expresses his surrender to the will of the Lord. He says, you may keep me in this world. I don't want liberation. Or you may take me to your abode as you please. That's also all right. But whatever you do with me, keep me in this world or take me next to your side, feed me the divine nectar of your holy names. Give me this namamrita, this nectar. And then he reminds the Lord. He gets a little personal now. He reminds him of his mission. You have descended to this world to distribute the holy name. So kindly also consider me one of those you intended to bless. You came because of people like me. Please, now make true of your intent, your intention. Take. And then he says many things. He says, I'm most lowly, whereas you are the highest. But let this be our connection. I'm your very low servant, and you are my most merciful master. There should not be any other connection between us. On the strength of this unbreakable connection between us, O Lord, I beg you to shower me with the nectar of the holy name. In other words, feeling, an infusion of genuine devotional feelings. comes, and now it gets a little bit more advanced, from people, from the devotees, they have the feelings which we need to come alive in devotional service. It's here's our address. Here is where we must knock. Here we must beg. Here we must request an upliftment of our chanting. The infusion of devotional feelings is, in other words, possible if you think about the devotees who serve Krishna with the desired feelings which you desire to have. In the nectar of instruction, there is one very nice verse which will make us very thoughtful, because it addresses really us here in the land of Braj. This verse says, what you do in the land of Braj, it doesn't speak about vitamin C's and cough medicine and managing your day with the mosquito nets in the night and so on. It gives spiritual advice for spiritual residents in Vrindavan. And as you study this verse, you will see it's all about imbibing or getting the right devotional mood while you are in Vrindavan. It says here, in the transcendental realm of Braj, one should serve the Supreme Lord Krishna with a feeling similar to that of his associates. And one should place oneself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, that is a spiritual practice executed while you're still in the stage of bondage, and in the stage of satya, that is God realization when one is a siddha purusha, a perfected being. So you should see how are the devotees here relating to Krishna, with what feelings. Not far from here, we used to cross his temple. There is Lota Baba. We used to come by the other road, but it is now newly constructed, under construction, so we can't go there. And we would always go around Govardhan, and then right more at the peak, you know, at the front, there would be this this devotee. It's a friend of Lord Krishna who, when Krishna left with Akrura, he said, "Will you return?" And Krishna said, "Yes, yes. After 1 or 2 days, I have some business to do in Mathura." Killing the king, you know. Then when I'm completed, I'm returned. Gopal, you say many things and then you don't do them. Look in my eyes, eye to eye. I'm asking you, no, don't look somewhere else, look in my eyes. Will you return? Say in front of me by looking in my eyes. Krishna said, "I will return." "Gopal, I will sit here and I will not eat. I will just wait until you return." There's another place in Bandiravan where Sridham Sakha also, when Krishna left, he also said, "Will you return?" I will return. I'm saying this on the name of Nanda Baba, in the name of my father, I return. Okay, I will wait and not eat until you return. That's real friendship. He's real waiting for Krishna. He waited 5,000 years, Sri Damsaka. Yes, and then I think it was Lord... Yes, then Lord Nityananda came and said, the Lord has returned. He is now in Navadvip. Come with me. Shridam said, what? Yes. There's so many stories about this. Or the gopis who longed for Krishna. They couldn't. They had been called to Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. And then when they arrived, Krishna said, oh, you have come here most properly to see the beautiful scenery in the forest, how the Vrindavan forest looks by night and with the moon. If this is completed, you may now return home. And the gopis did not return home. Instead, they looked on the ground very nervously there. They drew some lines in the ground. Krishna said, why don't you return? You are very Vedically trained girls. And then finally the gopis spoke to him and said, you know why we have come here. Please do not turn us away. The Lord, as Narayan has said, that he accepts all those who sincerely surrender. You are that Lord. You must fulfill your promise. Then Krishna disappeared with Srimati Radharani. The gopis then later found her, found Radha, because Krishna, while walking with Radha through the forest, had also disappeared from her. And they sang that famous Gopi Gita. It's a wonderful part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where amongst the other songs there is this verse, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kavibhiditam Kalmashapaham. No? This verse which praises those who talk about Krishna. The whole idea is that we should hear how these great devotees yearn and long for Krishna. And know, this is the desired meditation for me in this age of Kali. And before we do our own little exercise here, our own chanting, I want to conclude. In this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to spread his own holy name, taught practically what it really means to chant with the feelings of the awakening soul. He gave this wonderful meditation, which I'm sure most of you very much know. It's a Ayi nanda tanu yakinkaram patitang mam vishame bhavam buddho. Where he says, my Lord, I have fallen from the safe place at your lotus feet into this ocean of material life. I'm very, very unfortunate. I struggle here for my existence. When does the day come where you will pick me up from this ocean of birth and death? This, many of my exalted God brothers take at their guideline how to develop devotional feelings. They follow in the feelings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who felt all lonely and forlorn without Krishna. You may say, I don't feel quite well without Krishna. I mean, I have my mobile telephone and access to everything. All the verses I want, they are at my fingertips. I feel quite all right, you know. As long as the devotees don't make politics against me, I'm quite all right, so on. But this is a physical or a mental need which you fulfill. What is about your spiritual need? Is your spiritual need fulfilled without Krishna? No. The soul only longs for Krishna. Now, to come to this, sincerely praying to Krishna, there's something in the way. That's the ego. The ego wants to be independent and to surrender to Krishna. Thank you. To surrender to Krishna is a concept which, yes, makes sense in a class of hopefully not more than 45 minutes, but it does not make sense in practical life. For the ego, I'm speaking of the ego. The ego has other plans. As long as the body is fresh and the senses are able, we want to design our own life. Prabhupada says, but this is mistaken. When you make your own plans without Krishna, you are really becoming dependent on Maya, on the material energy. He says, the real independence of a living entity who is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to remain always dependent on the Supreme Lord, just like a child who plays in complete independence, guided by his parents who watch over him. Let Krishna watch over us. Let Krishna appreciate us. Let Krishna be pleased with our action. Why do you hesitate to go all the way? Why do you only want to go part of the way of Krishna consciousness? It's because of your ego, which keeps you bound in the material energy and which gives you a murky feeling, an irky feeling, or what is the English word? You know from the sound of these words. An awkward feeling that to think or to surrender more to Krishna, to make myself dependent on Krishna. But don't you see how much you suffer? Don't you see it? Are you not tired? It's a deception, this ego. It must be given up. There is a prayer to Krishna which I like very much. It says, you exist as an experience of bliss. Krishna, you are, when one experiences you, one is blissful. You exist like this without covering in the temple of my heart. But the door to this temple of the heart is closed by this deceptive ignorance, and it has to be unlocked by Bhakti Yoga. It's a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the sixth canto says like this. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So all this, what I have said today in this first lecture, points at one thing, that is to stop mechanic chanting and to enter relational chanting, or enter, make a relationship with Krishna. And it is this which makes the difference between bhakti without nectar and bhakti with the amrita of which Lord of which Haridas Thakur speaks. I cannot stop to make a little exercise where I wish to bring you into a sacred space where you can adopt what you have heard so far in your practice. Are you interested to make a practical exercise?
Yes.
Are you willing to go into new territory? In other words, you invest some trust into... I need this very much. I need to also then tune in my little bhajan band here. Good. I thought we do a little meditation. This is not Maya. What is it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Huh? It is authorized within the 9 processes of devotional service. In the book Hari Bhakti Vilas, you will find some that before entering into the meditation, for instance, of the Gayatri Mantra, we do some pranayams. It is there. In the 5th vilas of the Hari Bhakti vilas. In Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada also speaks of a brahmana who goes to the river Kaveri in the morning and does some pranayama exercises and then starts his meditation. It is better if you do this because then your mind, which is either tired or rebellious or in a different space, becomes the vrittis become calmed down. We will do, because we don't want to enter too much into yoga mishra bhakti here, we want the pure thing. We will just do a few, we will sit properly, and by keeping our eyes a little bit focused like here, you know, not looking at anything particularly, just relaxing our gaze. Yes, I see some of you want to sit. Yeah, it's good to find if you want to sit properly, or on a chair is also all right. You should be comfortable. Would you like to maybe stretch yourself a little bit? Just like, oh, you have to touch the tent. This is the idea, the tent roof. Oh. Okay. Let's not get too... Take a deep inhale and then exhale. And exhale a little bit more than your capacity. Now deep inhale. And on an exhale, extend your exhale as much as you can. Deep inhale, and on each exhale, just go beyond your capacity. This will, in a short while, you will have very deep breath. And then really breathe the air in. Don't be afraid of the dust. It's good for you, for your spiritual body. Become peaceful inside. Just focus on deep inhales and really deep exhales. If you sit on a sofa, it is good if you move your body a little bit away from the backrest so that there is more chance of staying alert. Good. We are ready now. Bring your mind to your ingoing breath. Just observe what happens. No need of forced breathing. Just be with your inside breath and be with your outgoing breath. As you become a little bit peaceful, observe your body. Try to be conscious of your feet. Where are your feet? Scan through your body, the legs. Where do you sit? Whenever you exhale, try to feel the feeling of weight. You sit somewhere on Mother Earth or on your chair. Each time you exhale, become a little bit more heavy. Feeling of weight. Now quickly become aware of your upper body, your shoulders also. And whenever you exhale, surrender to the feeling of weight. You're safe. You're sitting here in the land of Vrindavan. Now bring your attention to the heart space. You will see when you inhale, you feel a certain feeling of lightness there. Not light, like lamp light, but light, not weight. Be with that feeling. It is here in the heart space where you, as the eternal soul, reside. It is here where you, the part and parcel of Krishna, reside. You are different from your body. And you are part of Krishna. After attaining this rare human birth in the material world, I have not worshipped Sri Krishna. To whom shall I tell my sorrow? By my activities, so much time has passed in vain. What kind of world is this? Days pass in futility. I eat, I see, and I wear whatever, good or bad. I never think that one day I will give up this body. Alas, I never think that I'm only temporarily here. But one day my body will lie in the crematorium. Therefore, when I awake to my natural intelligence, I will give up this infatuation with the body and pursue the real treasure in life. Krishna. I've come here to the sacred land of Vrindavan. Krishna is just there next to me as Giriraj. I will address Krishna now through my chanting. O mind, how will you ultimately take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Krishna? I've had the desire to take shelter since time immemorial, but still I'm waiting. O Radhe, O Krishna Chantra, life and soul of the devotees, please give this most sinful person bhakti to both of you. And please give me the qualification to serve you. Now turn to the Lord with your kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. one more time, please. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, please come alive. Some of you are not yet out of your meditation, this is now sound meditation. Please chant with enough strength of heart and strength of voice. Please, let's chant now. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare. Yes, very good. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, when I was chanting during the months of Kartik, again and again, a very nice, let me say, passage from the Bhagavatam came to my life, which really inspired me to give myself more to the chanting than I had previously done. And I thought I would tell you a little bit of that meditation, because it really describes in an essence what you have heard today, the mentality in which we interact with Krishna. You know, just ask yourself the question, what would I do if Krishna would personally appear before me? Would I pray to him? Would I try to serve him? I give regular lectures to children just so that I can tell them, don't come to the lectures which I give to the grown-ups. I mean, not just because of this, but it started like this. I gave lectures to our community in North Germany near Berlin, and there are many children in the community, and I noticed they always came during the lectures in and out, and the parents could not so much focus. So I know you are really not liked in communities if you always send the children out. So I made a deal with the children. I said, I sit down with you for 20 minutes and give a children lectures. No parents are allowed to come. And then when I give the parents lecture, no children can come. Huh? And they say, it's a deal. And in this way I developed the children lectures. And I learned a lot from the children. I once asked the children, what will you ask when Krishna appears before you? And one child said, I would ask him if I may decorate him. Very nice. But one boy did not say anything. And I said to him, what would you ask him, Nimai? Think of anything which comes into your head. The boy thought very strongly, but nothing came into his head. Then I asked him, would you ask him maybe for a car? And he looked at me as if I'm the greatest fool of the universe and says, a car doesn't fit in my head. It's too big. My head is too small. But I very much liked the child who said, I would ask him if I may decorate him. So I thought it's very nice. So, when as you chant, you should know Krishna has appeared before you. He's there in his holy name. Now, how do you relate to him? And I invite you to go with me on a little journey. We leave our current reality, wherever we are, and we enter into Mathura town. The whole town is decorated. There is a bus in the town. Everyone talks about these two boys who have just arrived from Vrindavan. And then finally, the residents of Mathura who have lined up on the streets, and some have stayed on the roofs to have a better view, see how Krishna Balaram walked down the royal street, and Krishna walks with the gait of an elephant. Now, I studied this a little bit. How is the gait? It is slow, but it is powerful and irresistible when an elephant goes. And he moves left and right, especially when you look from the back. You can see, it's really... So in this way, Krishna very, very joyfully moves. He doesn't move like a German, zack, 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 zack. Krishna walks in a very playful mood, and very often when Krishna walks, his right leg and right foot makes a greater forward movement than the left one. He, in a way, like skips forward, and he always smiles, and his smile has a special quality. There's a lot of love, love-laden glance. So the residents of Vrindavan see Krishna walking with his friends, and it's a spectacle. They can't draw their eyes away from Krishna. They've heard so much about him. And now as they look at him, they become so happy that all inauspiciousness in their life goes away. For instance, the feeling of fear. It is said the old people of Mathura, just by looking at Krishna, felt 50 years younger. In other words, looking at Krishna's blissful face and his love-laden glances gives so much heaviness and so much of a smile to the onlooker that all inauspiciousness goes. Now Krishna has come for a special purpose to Mathura. Now Vasudev and Devaki, some say they are his parents, others say it's Yashoda and Nanda in Vrindavan. Let us leave this controversial question aside. He wants to free them because they are kept by King Kamsa in the prison, and they are dealt with as high political prisoners, and they're guarded like anything. So as Krishna walks through the town, he sees a washerman and his servants with the garderobe, how do you say this in English, wardrobe of King Kamsa. It's transported on many donkeys, you know, it's many shirts, many coats, and so on. They come down the road, and Krishna stops the washerman and says, I'm dressed in village style, but now I'm in the town. I need something for the occasion of being the town. Can I have some of the clothes, please? And this washerman, who sees Krishna demanding or asking him to go out of his routine and give him some of the cloth of the king, becomes highly incensed. He looks at the boy's face whom the whole town of Mathura speaks about, and he looks into the beautiful eyes of the Lord, and he sees a little glimmer in the eyes, and all of a sudden his hatred springs up in his heart. And the washerman rudely says, if you again asked for that which is the property of the king, I report you to the king's palace and you will be executed. Go! Very rudely. And Krishna takes note of this attitude and says, you go. And liberates him from his sinful mentality and from his sinful body. Yes, he gives him a high spiritual result. Krishna continues to walk. And he sees another person on the royal road, a benched over hunchback, Kubja, who is transporting unguents and cosmetics and nice fragrance perfumes for the king, sandalwood with different colors and so on. And he stops her and says, oh beautiful lady, what are you carrying? And Kubja says, I'm bringing the cosmetics to the king. He will decorate himself and smell very nicely. Kubja did this every day, but although Kamsa was so demoniac, he never touched her. And Krishna says, Krishna doesn't even say, but she notices he wants these fragrances, and she thinks and says, but they are really only meant for you, to decorate you and to please you. She rubs these over Krishna's beautiful face. Imagine the sandalwood with the unguents is maybe a little yellow, and how nice it contrasts the dark glistening cheeks of Krishna. Very beautiful. And Krishna notices, you have given to me, now I will give something to you. And he takes his beautiful hands under the chin. He steps with his lotus toes on Kubja's toes and gives her a therapeutic jerk and straightens her out. She looks... She's in a very beautiful body. Her hunched back has disappeared. And she asks Krishna, "Oh, my dear Krishna, you are the Lord," and says some nice prayers and invites Lord Krishna to visit her. And Krishna agrees. Two people met Krishna. Two people, but two different hearts. One kept his distance from Krishna, which he had since many, many millions of lifetimes. The other person transformed. It was dangerous for the two. The ego must have rebelled there. The washerman thought, "If I give him, I will be hanged." And Kubja also knew the spies of Kamsa are everywhere. It's a highly guarded town. The Kamsa knew everything, what everyone spoke about, because he had his spies everywhere. But Kubja was deciding to depend on Krishna totally. This is the decision which you must make in your heart when you chant. Will I try to surrender to Krishna? Will I try to beg Krishna to come in the form of the holy name? Will I turn to Krishna? And you can do anything which helps you. Sometimes you may read a little bit in the Bhagavatam in your chanting session. Sometimes you may read what I do, the prayers of the acharyas, or sing a bhajan. Sometimes you may just meditate and think, "I'm really not the body. I'm not this position which I hold at the moment. I'm only the servant of Krishna." And you may then turn from that position to Krishna. But remember, on the royal road of your life, you are meeting Krishna in the form of the holy name. How will you decide? What will you do? Will you ignore Krishna, or will you turn to him and pray that he accepts you? This is a decision. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Oh Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Sorry, I'm a little enthusiastic. So nice. Thank you very much for listening and for being with us. I see a dear devotee who has just come. It is our Vrindavan Prabhu. He is known in our movement as the one with blessed hands. He paints very nice pictures of Radha and Krishna. And I think all of you have seen them. His postcards are all over. There's a whole book called Vrindavan Art. And like many of us, I also derive great inspiration by his... I think Krishna uses him to show some of his sweetness to our eyes. Many devotees are blessed to cook
or there are devotees who can sing very nicely, or devotees who have a very fair and very good heart, and they can arrange our movement very, very nicely. There are many are blessed with these skills, and Vrindavan Prabhu is really blessed with the skill to paint, and he has come with some of his mind-enchanting pictures, and if you still look for something nice to take from Vrindavan, some image of Krishna, you may please look at his pictures, and you can also purchase them. I think we will. You could go there where the light is in the back, and the devotees can come. Yes, you can. You can. But please, you brought something of bigger size. Hare Krishna. Yes. No. You can. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. I'm Vrindavan Das, and by mercy of Govardhan, Giriraj, and Radha and Krishna and Maharaj, I want to show some of my paintings, some of originals and some of canvas prints. And I wanted to start with Govardhan, because we are on Govardhan now. And if somebody help me, actually, original painting, it's already serving for Krishna in one altar somewhere. I don't remember where. But this is a very nice canvas print of backdrop for Radha and Krishna, or can be Krishna and Balaram or Giriraj, you know. And that's why you don't see here Krishna, but he's also here, because Giriraj Maharaj is himself, you know, personification of Lord. And you can see these creepers, you know. I couldn't paint one thing, you know. I couldn't paint the dust of Vrindavan, because so much dust comes from devotees' feet, you know, on these leaves and or from cows. And I painted everything green, green, green. Sometimes artists are proud, you know. We say, oh, we want clear colors. We want clear vision of Krishna. And we don't want this dust. But once I thought, why no dust? It's glorified everywhere, no, this dust. So, but here it's a little bit, you know, look like after rainy season, maybe. Yeah, some birds and behind some. I call this painting "Way to Govardhan." So it's some peacocks are there, and maybe new. It is actually how to say modern and nowadays, because actually Govardhan, as you know, is more bigger. But the mood was like this when I was painting this one. And this one is divine forms of Radha and Krishna, which are explained of our acharyas. So this painting done actually for my own meditation, because I wanted all the time, you know. I struggle many times in my meditation, and I could not picture it sometimes, you know, when mind is agitated. So then I decided to paint very detailed painting for my own meditation. So I also sit down in front of it, and I chant my rounds. And this is a Radha and Krishna here on throne, and Lalita and Rupa Manjari. So they are serving Lord with fruits and water and chamaru. And this is Yamuna, the lotus flowers. So they are sitting in Kunj. So the name of the painting is Nikunj Ras. This is actually original painting. This is so something like this, maybe. To be voted.
You can speak.
Well, actually, Maharaj, you know, the point is, you know, I can paint, but I cannot speak so much. I'm excited, because you actually what you did, because I was listening all the class here, and you pictured everything already. I think I have to just show only, because you pictured it with prem, with love, you know. I cannot say more than that. So I can say this is Radha and Krishna. That's it. So, And Srila Prabhupada, I don't know exactly which year, but he installed Kishore deities in Chicago. I don't remember which year, but and this painting I painted a little bit in chromatic colors. I don't know why it came like that, but this name, the painting name is Kishore Kishori. So you can see the darshan of Kishore Kishori sitting in the kunj. And Krishna is totally involved in his flute playing, but Radharani exactly looking at you in the mood when you are join us. Something like that. Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. And this painting I just did a few months ago, and this painting name is Dance of Radha. And actually when Radharani, in Vedas we have the thing like Purusha and Shakti, yes? So Radharani, she's a Shakti. Shakti is a moving. Shakti is a love. It's Kladini. She's moving everywhere. And when Radharani moves in Rasa dance, everything moves, you know. You see the even moon, you know, and the clouds moves around. And everything moving around. And Krishna is just stable, standing and playing his flute. So that's kind of, I cannot say more about something, you know. Yeah. And this painting, name is Evening Flute. So when Krishna is calling cows, go back to Nandagaon, yes, and there is a bank of Yamuna and the lotus flowers, and it's already day, sun is going down, and Krishna is calling all friends and cows back home to Nandagram. Jai Shri Krishna.
Thank you so much. Really, this I only saw you here, Vrindavan Prabhu, and I thought, well, I think all the devotees have seen your photos or photos, your wonderful pictures, and I can really see you carry blessings, divine blessings. So. I think it is nice if some of you want to take memories from Govardhan. Vrindavan Prabhu can be... No, we have a pause now. You can stay here. What is the... Let me find out. What is the plan? What? 6:30. Yeah. 6:30 is the next program. Aha. So you can stay where you are. That is maybe easiest or... Yeah, okay, good. Fine, yes, then it's fine. Thank you very much for coming and giving pleasure to our eyes and hearts. And may Radharani bless you that your, what is it called, brush will never tire, and the heart is always full, so that you can continue to give pleasure to the Vaishnavas like this. Thank you for your service. Hare Krishna. With this, I will also end the session. I thank you all very much for participating. I believe now there is a pause, and we will all be able to meet in half an hour for what? Kirtan? Or what is the Kirtan here? Yes. In half, in 6:30, Kirtan here. Hare Krishna.